I want to begin by sharing the story of Andrea. Andrea was born in Mexico. Her mother was 22 years old. In the same month that Andrea was born, her mother also became a widow. It has been shared then that her mother felt that the life that she had expected, a newborn daughter and a husband, this life had been stolen from her. She had a very difficult time dealing with the circumstances in which she then found herself. And so then, she gave Andrea to her husband's brother. Many years later, Andrea shared her own feelings about what had taken place. And she said, "I could call her weak," speaking of her mother. "I could call her selfish. I could be mad or I could be bitter. Instead, I am grateful for the life I have. And I'm grateful for a mother who sacrificed our relationship to give me a better life." I reflect on the story of Andrea when I read the prayer of Jesus and the words that Jesus shares. Because in the prayer, Jesus prays for himself and what is in store for him, what awaits him in his arrest and his coming crucifixion. But also he prays for his disciples, and he prays for what is ahead and all that they will face of what is to come, recognizing how difficult that journey will be. And the prayer of Jesus, it is a call for his disciples. It is a call for us to live out our Christianity in a very difficult world. To demonstrate our Christian life in all that we do on a journey that is not easy. For Jesus prays for his disciples, because the disciples are not to be taken out of the world. The disciples are not to escape the turmoil that they are to face. Disciples are not to withdraw, not to evade problems. They are not to be released from hardship. The journey of the disciple will not be easy and will not always be triumphant. But Jesus prays that the disciples will continue to live a life for which they have been equipped. They have been prepared. That they will be able to face the troubles ahead. And that problems before them can be solved. And the difficulties may be overcome. And to do so, Jesus prays that the disciples may be one. He prays for a unity. That this life may be lived and this journey may be made by leaning on one another. That we may provide support and help in all the circumstances in which we find ourselves. That we don't try to meet the challenges of life solely with our own strength. But we are to be united, to build up one another. We are not to be a divisive people. We are not to pass judgment, but come together and bring together. Jesus prays how we are sanctified into truth. To sanctify is to set apart and to be holy and to be dedicated. Too often the church has taken this word, sanctify, and used it in how we are to separate ourselves from others, however you may define them. But rather, we are set apart, we are taught, we are instructed, we are equipped. We have been given the word of grace and love, and to exhibit this truth in order to bring people together, to unite, to share the burdens and the struggles and the hardships with one another. And so in reading the prayer of Jesus, I reflect on the celebration of Mother's Day. I decided I would do my mother a favor on this Mother's Day. I would not tell a story that involved her, nor will I tease her. I figure that's the best gift that I could possibly give. But I was reflecting on Mother's Day, and by doing so, I came across an article that was written by a woman in Christianity Today. For this article on the internet, she sent out a question. How do you feel about Mother's Day celebrations in church? The response may be surprising. That overwhelmingly women responded and said that it's the single most painful day of the entire church year. That in efforts trying to honor and to celebrate mothers often bring up pain and resentment from personal experiences. Examples were shared by Sherry, because Sherry wrote about how she had lost her only daughter to cancer at a young age and how difficult that was for her on Mother's Day. Bonnie was a mother of an adopted child, an adopted daughter, and on Mother's Day Sunday the children were given chocolate kisses with these instructions: to give them to the woman who gave birth to you. Bonnie was horrified by this, and she shouted in the midst of the congregation, "Or has adopted you." Sandra lost her mother very early in life and shared that she had never been able to have children of her own. And so on Mother's Day, she had neither a mother nor children to celebrate with. And so she felt, as she said, abandoned. And so I reflect on the prayer of Jesus and the relationships and the struggles of mothers and children. Mothers with children in prison, those who suffer from addictions and mental illnesses. Of the many relationships that are broken or even lost in any number of different ways. But yet, as we gather together, we simply can't ignore Mother's Day. Because there is the message of love and appreciation that is shared amongst so many. And mothers need affirmation for this high calling that they had embarked upon throughout their life. The woman who wrote the article I read reflected on raising children, and for over 20 years she spent either pregnant, nursing, or potty training. But how often she struggled, unseen and silent, necessary to combat fatigue and exhaustion. I was reading on the internet this week about mothers who shared on Twitter some of their experiences and what it meant to them to be a mother. One young mother wrote, "Being a mother has made me a professional sire." Another reflected on how she had spent half her paycheck at the grocery store and come home and her young son had said, "How come there's nothing to eat?" Or the 7-year-old daughter who said to her mother, "You're not as funny as you think you are." Or the mother who shared, "I wish I could turn down food as easy as my toddler does." So Mother's Day for us, first of all, is a day of renewal and a day of remembrance. But it's also a chance to live out our Christianity. Paul writes in his letter to the Romans what it means for us as followers of Christ to be a living sacrifice. And he says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep." We are to grieve for those who have never had children or who have lost them. We are to grieve for those who have never had mothers or who have lost them. Paul writes that as being part of the body of Christ, we are to minister to one another. And so by doing so, on days such as this, we acknowledge our joys and our affections. And we enter into the joys and the affections of others, but also the afflictions. That the realities of mothering are difficult in the world in which we live. And that being part of the body of Christ, we are to enlarge our compassion and our empathy. And so we are to rejoice and lament. We are to laugh and we are to cry. That the exhausted, pregnant woman can bring comfort to the childless one. That men can praise wives. That children can thank mothers and their spiritual mothers. And the one who experienced a happy motherly relationship can comfort the abandoned daughter. There was a teacher, a young woman, who was beginning the school year teaching 6th grade math. First day of school, she noticed one boy who was more untidy than the rest and kind of seemed lost in his own world. And as the days went by, he seemed to deteriorate a little bit each and every day. The young boy was ignored by his classmates, and she found that he was unable to answer even the simplest question. And so after a period of time, she checked his previous record of how he had done before. She realized that he had been on the top of his class, but that his performance had continued to decline when his mother fell ill and then had died. So he had become a loner. He had expressed no interest in any of the activities of his classmates or took place at school. And by doing so, then he was abandoned by friends. And so this young teacher began to keep him after class. Asked if he had any problems that needed any explaining, made sure that he understood the material. It was an opportunity to comfort him, to talk and to share. And with this personal attention, over time he seemed to improve. And so after some months, his appearance changed. He promptly responded to questions in class, and then his classmates began to be more friendly with him. Then finally, in the spring on Friday, as school was letting out, the young boy gave his teacher a gift wrap box and told her to open it on Sunday. On Sunday morning, the young woman was curious, and so she opened the gift, and in it was a half-filled bottle of perfume, the same that she had been using. And she realized that it was Mother's Day. And so the young boy in the note asked if she would continue to wear this particular perfume Because every time that she was around, he could feel his mom. And for this, he thanked her. When Jesus was on the cross, he spoke to his disciples. And he said, "Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and my sister and my mother." And so then, we too are to share such relationships with one another. And I think that in his prayer, Jesus gives us permission to complain with one another, to rejoice with one another, to grieve with one another. We are to make space in our lives to truly see one another and take advantage of the opportunities to serve and to care and to comfort one another. To honor one another. Jesus prays what it means to be the family of Christ. Amen.